This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It is 9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, which is brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Mark Steeren, your State Farm insurance agent in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light duty towing in Litchfield. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. The Huff Funeral Homes in Hillsboro, Raymond, and Farmersville. By Prairie Town Feed Service. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. By Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. And by the Litchfield National Bank. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize.
Thank you very much, David Jenkins, and we have found the month of August.
Didn't know where we were looking for it.
Oh, I was looking for it.
Not sure it's still there by from a weather standpoint.
Well, and of course, you know, August used to be the last month of summer. Now it's basically the start of the school year as schools will be back in session next weekend. My birthday's on August 26th, Dave. It's always been on the 26th. But when I was first in school, my birthday was before school started. School started after Labor Day. And then next thing you knew, around my birthday, oh, we're in school. Now all of a sudden, they're in school here 2 weeks before my birthday. It's just interesting to see how much the school calendar has moved up here in the month of August, the summer getting shorter. And it was obviously a really short summer, at least it felt shorter than usual this year, just because of how late last spring sports went in to the month of June. So here we are starting Monday. The fall sports officially start practice, and we're going to have games and volleyball and soccer coming up in a couple of weeks. I think the 23rd is the first date for those matches. Of course, high school football starts on the 27th. We'll have golf matches that can begin as early as next week on the 12th. So we are quickly getting right into a brand new sporting season. And of course, on the high school volleyball scene locally, the Staunton Bulldogs coming off of a powerful season. They are returning a lot of promising talent, and their head coach Janine Lusico good enough to join us here on Sports Saturday this morning. And coach, thank you for a few minutes of your time. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Hey, it's fantastic. It feels to me like it's only been a week or two since we had high school volleyball going on in the spring. Just kind of talk about what is a quick transition from that spring season into the normal fall slot here.
Yeah, even with that spring season starting later and they reduced our contact days, it was still a jam-packed summer for those girls. We took off a little bit early, though. We stopped the second week in July to give those girls a break.
And Janine, that was really, I think, something at the end of that last school year. A break had to happen because at our small public schools, these kids went nonstop for about 4.5 months.
They did, and we probably had more injuries last year than we have had ever. And I think it's due to them trying to do everything at once after not doing anything.
And as players, it's certainly easy to not appreciate the preseason training that goes in getting your body condition, but noticing an uptick in the injuries last year, I imagine maybe the kids this year are like, okay, we got to get ourselves in volleyball condition.
Yeah, we definitely upped our conditioning over the summer. We added some weightlifting in and some jump training, and we have a PE teacher that's also a coach, and she's very good with that kind of stuff. So she put a program together for these girls, and they can already tell that they're stronger and they're faster and they're better prepared for this season.
And as we look at this season, what are your, I guess, expectations? I mean, obviously the conference championship is at the top of that list.
Yeah, we definitely want to win conference again. We've won county, I think, 3 or 4 years in a row now. So we definitely want county again. But we're really looking into that postseason. We want to make it, you know, regional, sectionals. We're hoping that we can make a run in that postseason.
And you guys certainly have the group and the talent to get that done. And Janine, talk about that mentality right there. But it starts, obviously, on game one, and it's a process that builds to that moment.
Yeah, it definitely does. If we have a weakness, it is that we don't always play to our potential. Mm-hmm. We'll be that all-star team one game, and then the next game, it's like, who is that team? And I think that's girls in high school sports. But we've been working hard on that this summer, so hopefully we're going to put together one heck of a season.
Well, Janine, when you guys, I mean, you have a target on your back because of the success you've had, so you get everybody's best game. You know, a lot of teams circle Staunton. It's like, if we beat Staunton, okay, that is a feather in our cap. And sometimes when you are that team with the target, it's tough to realize we got to bring it every single night.
Yes, and that has been a process for us. While I was at Auburn, I had my teams trained. Like, we were prepared for that. But when I came into Staunton, those girls, you know, I'm used to going into gyms thinking, hey, it doesn't matter if you've got 6'5 girls, you know, we're going to out-defense you, or we can still beat you. And these girls went into a gym like that, and they're like, oh, no, we can't beat those teams. So it's taken us a few years to get to that point, but I think we are finally there, knowing that we can compete with whatever team is out there. But I think Breeze Modern Day last year, they were a little nervous for that game.
Well, you know, that's one of those great games there, Janine, because you guys, of course, had your undefeated season, but you went ahead and got Modern Day, I think, late. And that was one of those situations, great experience, especially moving into this year, I imagine.
Yeah, definitely. They needed to see a team that, you know, has won state and has been a powerhouse for years, and to see, you know, what type of team they could beat. And we have Breeze Modern Day on our schedule again this year. We called them up, and they agreed to play us again this year. So hopefully we'll give them a better match.
And, Janine, the last few years, of course, it's been you and Pena really vying for the conference title. And that's always been one of the first games of the year. I glanced at your schedule. It seems like maybe the Pena game not quite as early this year.
No, it's more toward the middle of the season this year. You know, and quite honestly, it probably should be at the end of the season because it's always a duel between us and Pena.
And how much of it, I've always thought that was a bit, you talking about, you know, bringing it every night and the consistency. When your biggest match is that early in the season, that's got to be an extra challenge to stay up for the remainder of the year.
Yeah, definitely. Early on, a lot of our big matches were at the beginning, and then at the end, we kind of just coasted through. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Troy Redfern and I, we have worked hard to really up the schedule, and we have tough matches throughout the entire season. I mean, we're going to O'Fallon Tournament this year. We go to Fairfield. We're going up to Riverton. We try, you know, we got Breeze Modern Day on our schedule. We're going down to Nashville. So we really tried to get some better teams to play again.
And regardless of what your regular season record winds up being, if you wind up having, you know, 7, 8 losses, whatever the number could be on the high end, those are going to be such quality losses that you will be better for it in the postseason.
Definitely. You know, everybody talks about, oh, you've had so many 30-win seasons. You know, that does not matter to me. You know, it doesn't really matter how many losses you have in that regular season. You need to prepare for that postseason. And we needed to up our matches, so hopefully it'll work this year.
Talk to me about Harris Legender. This young lady is just, she's so dynamic in so many different ways. Just talk about her skill set and just everything she brings.
Yeah, Harris is a one-of-a-kind athlete. She just has a volleyball IQ. Like, I would watch her in junior high, and there'd be a ball shank that you have to go save. And I would probably say 98% of the girls couldn't go save it, and somehow she just knew how to get there and save that ball. And her, like, she is one of the most coachable girls. She will do whatever I tell her to do. She's a very hard worker. She, you know, she got top 12 in the State Journal Register this year. She got Player of the Year for some small schools. And as a sophomore, she's only a junior this year. And her class is a very athletic class. Like, she's got her cousin, Kendi Legender, and Danielle Ross, and all three of those girls are 5'10 or taller. So she's really got a good core group to work with. So, you know, really, that team could really go far. They're just a great group.
And, you know, it's interesting you mentioned the strong junior group. And a lot of times when you've got a special group like that, it seems to me the junior year sometimes winds up being the most successful year. For whatever the reasons may be, I feel like there's a lot of teams over the course of time where that's been the case. When you have a special group like this, you know, if you've got a couple kids above and a couple kids below, it can turn into a really good unit.
Yes, like when they were in junior high, that group went to state both years, and then the group underneath of them also went to state both years. and Taylor Nolan and Kylie Lusico, I pulled both of them up to Harris's team. So those girls have been playing together since they've been, well, since Kylie and Taylor were in sixth grade, and then Harris and them were in seventh grade. So they really, you know who's going to get what. And they needed a little bit of help on defense. So, you know, Kylie, my daughter, she's the libero. And then Taylor Nolan, that girl's a beast. That girl could hit that ball hard. So, and then we have a setter that's a senior this year that's been working with those girls. So we have that experience as a setter. So you are right. This year might be definitely our best year.
It, the continuity, I mean, it's important in every sport, but volleyball, I mean, it's six really working as one.
It definitely is. Like, if you have a weak link on that team, they will find the weak link.
Janine Lusico, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning. We look forward to following the Staunton Bulldogs. What we hope is a long, long ride.
I hope so, too. Thank you.
All right, Janine Lusico, the head coach of the Staunton Bulldogs. And when you hear a Coach David talking in the preseason about goals and postseason, you know that it's a focused group, and expect big things from Staunton this year.
Yeah. It's just nice to be able to talk about that.
Isn't
it?
Oh, goodness, yes. Postseason. Imagine that.
Right. It's a whole new thing.
What is it?
I think it'll stick.
You think so? I don't know. It could be a passing fad like email.
Yeah. AOL.
Oh, we need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We got a full program for you today here. Of course, it's our volleyball preview show. We're going to still catch up with Hillsborough coach Emily Zimmerman, new Litchfield coach Abby Carlson, Carletonville coach Katie Hammond, and coming up at 9:30, two-time Olympian Kelsey Card. And David talking about, you know, Harris Legender and how special she is for Staunton. Kelsey Card, when she was in high school playing volleyball for Franz Strubel, there was no one better. You didn't want to be on the business end of one of her spikes.
Nope.
Get out of the way. Coming straight down at you. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We are back with Emily Zimmerman following these messages.
We are back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
Thank you very much, David Jenkins, back here on Sports Saturday with our volleyball preview show, as we will have practices officially beginning on Monday for all of our fall sports. Golf matches can begin next week on the 12th. Looking at just some of the schedules I've seen so far, looks like the following week, the 16th, looks like we see most of the golf matches getting underway. Volleyball and soccer can start the week of the 23rd. And then, of course, high school football coming up on Friday, August the 27th. Well, the Lincoln Wood volleyball program, it'll be a season to remember. It's their first season in a co-op with Morrisonville. So the rich get richer, as they say. You bring two solid programs together, and Lincoln Wood now with Morrisonville should have a very powerful squad. So they graduated 4 of 6 starters with Lincoln Wood, but they get returning starters from Morrisonville, including Haley Belcher, outstanding player. She will be having a big, big junior year for the Lancers. So Kimberly Denny has had a fun summer, and she is looking forward to the season coming up in the fall. Emily Zimmerman looking forward to another season with the Hilltoppers, and she joins us on the phone right now. And Emily, thank you for a few minutes of your time. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Hey, doing very good. It's just great to be talking about high school sports once again in what feels like more of a normal capacity here. Of course, we know it's not normal yet, but Emily, from your perspective this summer, talk to me about what was the same, if anything, and what was different.
Well, we've actually had a lot of difference this year. I graduated 7 seniors, and 5 of those seniors had starting roles or continually coming in to play a pretty significant role for us. So, I graduated both of my setters. I graduated a libero, a strong outside hitter, and a right side hitter. So we are definitely looking at a rebuilding year this year. There's not a lot of familiarity on the varsity end. I've got a couple of returning varsity players. Casey Papin, she's been outstanding for us. She's been a, 2-year first team all conference team member, and as a freshman. She was a second year. Unfortunately, though, she had an ankle repaired surgically this past week. So she's out indefinitely. So I was, you know, that's going to be a big struggle for us and a big hole to fill. You know, fingers crossed she can get on the road to recovery and get some physical therapy going and maybe join us for some of the season. It's just kind of a big question mark right now. You know, and she's just a great kid. You know, she's just awesome athlete, coachable, just a team leader. And so, it's definitely a bummer that she's going through this, and I hate it for her senior year, but, you know, we've got positive thoughts that she'll be able to join us for at least part of the season. And then I have Lainey Rupert, who she'll be a junior this year, and she just had a really strong season for us last year as a sophomore. She was I was honestly sort of surprised when I saw her last year. Well, last year as in like April.
Right.
Because we just had our season. But she just is so strong offensively. She plays all the way around for us on the outside. She does a great job in the back. So I'm, you know, we're thrilled to have her back, and I'm looking forward to her bringing some of her varsity experience and leadership, since we really are going to have a brand new team, you know. So yeah, it's been a lot of trying different things out and seeing who works well on the floor with each other and in different positions. But I know that you just have years like that. So, you know, it's kind of going to be a learning curve for a lot of the girls, I think, this year.
Well, and Emily, when you have as much turnover as you're talking about, the summer becomes so important to do all the different things that you need to do to get your squad ready for the fall.
Mm-hmm.
This summer obviously isn't what a normal summer would be, but it was something. So percentage-wise, in relation to pre-COVID, how much stuff were you able to do you think?
I mean, I don't know. I think we did probably 70% compared to our normal, you know, full-on go for everything that we can do this summer. We did some league nights on Thursday nights and played some other varsity teams, which gave us some just really good on-the-court experience with this new group of girls. We were in a tournament. We were very fortunate to have Hannah Wirth come do a clinic with us in our gym. And for anyone not familiar with her, you know, she was a four-time All-American Division I athlete, played volleyball at Nebraska.
Pretty good.
So having her in our gym was a was a nice treat. She's come and worked with the girls a few different times. And just kind of also getting her perspective on you know, our strengths and weaknesses, and I think that that's just a huge benefit for us. But, yeah, I mean, I gave them a little bit more time off because some of them were coming right off of, you know, a spring sport in June, and then we did a lot of our work actually in July, which is kind of the reverse. Normally we really pack our June, do a few things in July, and kind of give them a few weeks off as we really get into our, you know, official start of our season. So, you know, they were able to have some experience. We did some, you know, our open gyms like normal, and just worked on a lot of different skills. And like I said, kind of getting those girls out there together and just seeing what's going to click and what's going to work well.
And you might not know this because I've inquired. Nobody really seems to know for sure. Are they going to have to wear masks when they play?
That's a great question. So, we just had a coaches meeting yesterday at the high school, and as of now, indoor sports are being asked to wear masks. So, you know, who knows? It could all change,
right,
like in another day or two. Everything's just so up in the air. But I do believe that volleyball, as of now, we will be wearing masks. You know, we're the only indoor fall sport, so it really only affects us. But yeah, I think we're just happy to be playing volleyball in the fall and hopefully have a normal, regular season and, you know, have a shot at something in the postseason. And just to get that back for the kids, I think I'm excited for that, regardless of whether or not we have to wear a mask. So
how weird was it in the spring?
It was different, you know. It was really different. I have an appreciation for all the spring coaches because I think that by nature, students and teachers alike, you kind of get into the spring. And
it's real, kind of like yes.
Struggling to get through sometimes, but no, it was fun, and it was nice to be able to give those kids an opportunity to play. But yeah, different. I think I prefer volleyball in the fall.
I don't think you're alone in that, Emily. I do not. Hey, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and good luck this year.
Thank you so much.
That's Emily Zimmerman, the head coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers. And, yeah, David, it was fun, but let's never do it again, shall we?
Right.
It's like, you know, I've talked about like the spring football season to me felt like it went on forever. It was only 6 weeks. Like the
really?
9 week fall season is so fast to me. It's the fastest 9 weeks in sports. But that spring football season to me felt like it took 3 months.
Why is that?
I have no idea. I have no idea what the reasoning was. Maybe because there was nothing to look forward to at the end. You know, there was no playoffs. I don't know what it was, but it was really strange.
6 weeks of exhibition games.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah. Well, that's what it was.
Well, I guess in a lot of ways, that's exactly right. So coming up next week, we will have our boys' soccer preview show. The following week, on the 21st, we will then have our football preview show leading into Football Friday coming up on August the 27th. Going to switch gears here. We're going to talk with two-time Olympian Kelsey Cardin. You know, when you watch the Olympics, everybody's from somewhere, right? I mean, it's just how it goes. But Kelsey is from Carlinville, and it was a great thrill to watch her compete in the Olympic Games for the second time. Of course, when she was in Rio, it was like a monsoon. That was not the issue they were having over in Tokyo. Just hot, 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 hot all during the track and field events. And Kelsey showed very well in the preliminary round as she was better on every throw in the games in Tokyo. And Kelsey is back stateside now. She is good enough to join us on the phone. And
she says she only has a couple minutes for us.
Well, that's...
I was just kidding.
Oh, only a couple. I'll take anything the two-time Olympian will give us. Kelsey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, doing fantastic. And just talk about how fun it was to be over there in Tokyo and just with the experience for the second time. Did it feel different having experienced it once already?
Definitely. I mean, you know, not only was it a really just different setup with COVID and everything like that than Rio, but it was just, I think each Olympics is unique. With that experience, so that's what makes it really cool. But it was nice to kind of know, you know, how the athlete village works, like how the bus shuttle system ran and just some of those details and things like that. It was really nice to have that sort of experience already under my belt. But it was still lots of new stuff to take in and just overall really, really cool.
The heat seemed to be the driving theme of the Tokyo Games. How did the heat in Tokyo relate to a July day in Carlinville?
It was rough. It was rough, let me tell you. Because, if you had just the heat, like the straight-up temperature itself, that was okay. But it was just the humidity. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Like, you felt like you were trying to wade through pudding. It was rough. And don't get me wrong, you know, we have some humidity here. And I look back to when I was a kid playing soccer out at Loveless Park in July, and how did I survive that? But It was rough, to be honest. It was very humid. I feel for those poor distance runners and those, you know, longevity sports that had to be out in it. Whew.
So what were the preferred conditions for you then, this heat and humidity or the driving rainstorm of Rio?
that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, each one has their challenges, to be honest.
Yeah. And Kelsey talked about your throws, because each one was better than the previous.
Yeah, so, I mean, on the whole, I wasn't super thrilled with my distances. I'd wanted and expected better of myself. But, I mean, it was nice to improve on each throw. Like, that's always encouraging to see. But I just feel kind of frustrated with how it went down, because I know that I can be better, and I've got some stuff to work on, and
As of now, I think I'm going to keep training and competing. So I've definitely got a lot of notes and homework things to take away to be better on a lot of fronts.
Was it a mechanical thing or just?
I mean, like some of it was mechanical, but like kind of like then looking, okay, well, what's causing those mechanics issues? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just a couple of different things that I need to work on with my coach. You know, one of them being, I think for me, I need to get my bottom line distance up higher so that even on my worst day, I can know that I'm going to throw X amount of distance or I'm going to throw this far. And then part of it too is getting that overall distance up so that inside of a stadium, I can perform better as well. Because it's hard to explain, but like throwing a stadium is different than throwing out in the open field. And so I have to be able to throw farther out in the open field, so that will translate to a farther throw inside of a stadium, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense, but I don't understand it, but it does make sense.
I don't fully either. You know, I just kind of roll with it.
That's all you can do, isn't it? And Kelsey, yeah. it was neat because Valerie Allman, she brought home the gold medal. So what was that experience like?
Well, I was because Tokyo for the games they had home, you had to leave within 48 hours of completion of your event,
mm-hmm.
Not even of your event, of you competing. So because I did not make finals, I had to leave early. So I was kind of competing when she was competing. So I didn't get to find out what went down until I landed. And so it was a lot of anticipation to see how it went. So I was pretty bummed that I didn't get to see her in person. Because Valerie is, she's fabulous. Oh, my goodness. I love her and her family. She's an incredible person and an athlete. I'm excited and so proud of her. And her birth home, that goal for our country was really cool. But yeah, so I texted her and stuff like that. So hopefully I could catch up with her sometime in person because I didn't get to see her do it. But that was just really amazing and incredible and exciting for our event.
And of course, the time difference was an issue for right. I texted you at 3:30 your time, not really thinking, you know, you're 14 hours ahead. Oh yeah. And I was thinking, oh yeah, she's throwing on Saturday. Yeah, Saturday Tokyo, but it's Friday here. I was all messed up.
Okay, I had a few family problems. I actually was having some clients call me a little bit late. But luckily, I don't have too many crisis clients, so it was a huge deal. It's the middle of the night here.
Yeah, and was that an adjustment, like getting there and getting your body on that clock to compete? I mean, you can't do anything about it. I guess either you get adjusted quickly or you don't. I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, that was another thing, too, that made these games unique, is that we couldn't come early. We were only allowed to come 5 days before we competed, or 5 days before the start of your sport. So since it was the second day, that really meant that I had, you know, 5 days just once I got there. A lot of time for the 14 hours, so that was a bit of a bummer. But my husband and I did some research before I left to try to figure out, okay, what can I do to get some of the schedule. The rules being how they were, and so I tried to make the best of it and do what I could. But it definitely was a challenge. And coming back, I still had that lag.
I think we're having a little trouble with the cell connection with Kelsey at the moment.
Oh,
she
no.
was dropping out a little bit right there. I don't know if you could move around maybe a little bit. Go someplace different than where you are. I don't know.
Channel your inner sprinter.
Yeah, exactly right. Become Usain Bolt. But Kelsey, I wanted, hopefully the connection can improve here, but I have just an off the wall question because it was in the news leading up to the Olympics. What's up with those cardboard beds?
Can you hear me now?
That's better.
Okay. Yeah. So those were interesting. Those were a thing. I know that people said that, oh, those beds were created to stop athletes from fraternizing and whatnot. But they had already had those beds designed and in place before COVID. So so that was not a COVID thing. I'm going to be honest with you. They were not the most comfortable things I've ever slept on.
You've had better, huh?
Yeah, not great. And then the bottoms. so they had this thing where, oh, we're adjustable with these mattress pads. But I don't know if people remember, because they were popular in, like, the early 2000s, but they were these flip-flops that had, like, plastic spaghetti, like, squishy foam bottoms. I don't even know if foam is the right word. But that's what the inside of the mattresses reminded me of. I was like, oh, my gosh, these are like these shoes I wore as a kid in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Oh, that's... That is funny.
I have a question for you. If we can take a peek behind the curtain of how this all works for somebody like me who doesn't know much about your sport at all. You do your throw, you walk over to the stands, and you communicate with your coach. What is he saying to you in that moment?
Yeah, so, I mean, this situation was kind of weird because my coach wasn't able to come, so he was actually on the phone and video chatting with the USA coach that we have with us. And, you know, the thing, too, is that, I mean, on competition day, there's not really a lot that you can change and make that many adjustments. So, really, it's just trying to focus on a few key points. And for me, what my cues were, you know, to get the discus up to the sector and then really turn the lower half ahead. You know, those were kind of some of the bigger points. But then at that point, it's really just about, you know, staying calm and... I like the word flow while throwing. It's keeping it as simple and concise as possible because you can't try to add all sorts of things in like that on a competition day because you're just not going to be able to make those sorts of changes and adjustments. So it's usually just pretty simple, concise cues, if that makes sense.
Talking with two-time Olympian Kelsey Carden. Kelsey, you mentioned at the outset that you think continue along here in your career, and the Olympics, the next ones are only 3 years away, so I guess that makes a difference, doesn't it? I mean, three instead of four, only 1 year, but that's a big year.
Yeah, I mean, and especially after going five, at three seems like, whew, a breeze. But yeah, the plan is to keep going. I mean, I have to sit down and chat with my coach and just, you know, assess some things, but I'm lucky to have, you know, a partner, my family, my community, everything like that supporting me and behind me if I do want to pursue that. So that's really awesome to know that if I want to and I feel like I can do it, I've got the support and resources that I would need to be successful. But it is just 3 years. And the other cool thing about it is that there's a world championship every year between now and then. And the ones this next year are actually in Eugene, Oregon. So they're on home soil.
Nice.
So that's exciting because they've never been before.
That's surprising.
Yeah.
They've never been there before.
I know.
Or here before.
I know. We've had indoor world championships before, but never an outdoors. And so that was one of the huge reasons why Hayward Field was renovated like it was, was in anticipation of hosting this world championship next summer.
Kelsey, just a couple more things for you. Really appreciate the time.
Yeah.
What will be, I guess, kind of the snapshot moment of your head for you of these Tokyo games that you'll remember? Just boom. First thought, yes.
I mean, other than the heat and the humidity, just how beautiful the city was. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I mean, I want to go back. It was Tokyo, just from what I could see from the bus window and my room window. It was amazing. And it was so clean. And just the culture is beautiful, and just I really appreciated that about it, and I would love to explore it more. That was really cool to me.
And
the fruit is amazing there.
Oh, really? Good fruit.
Oh yes, especially the pineapple. Oh my goodness.
Now, did you eat any sushi?
No, and like I tried to share some photos of my meals on social media. And I'm a terrible picky eater. It's so bad. But, like, yeah, I don't love sushi, and everyone is, like, hating on me for that. But they did have, like, an authentic Japanese food station, and so everyone was eating there. I did eat a dumpling thing.
There you go.
So that was me branching out.
It's like, I'll have the chicken fingers, please.
Yes, yes. But they had pizza. It was hilarious. It's always funny to see, like, the American food station at these things, just like with their versions of it.
I would imagine that is quite the sight. And then I don't even know how to transition to this because there really is no transition. But we were communicating the other day when you were back in Cromville. You have a dog, and your dog's name is Rio. That is yes, just utterly fantastic.
I love her very much. Yes.
And Kelsey, this is our volleyball preview show today. It's high school volleyball getting underway, and I just always think every time I think about you and your career, volleyball quickly comes into my mind of just how fantastic you were at the high school level. And I would just really like to get your kind of just thoughts on, in the era of specialization, right? It's like,
yeah,
watching these Olympics, I don't know what the number is, but I bet most of the Olympians are just like you, to where multiple sports growing up all the way through high school, then you settled on one that you were elite at. Could you just speak to that a little bit, please?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like, obviously throwing is my life and my passion, but I still love volleyball. I really do. And that's the thing that people don't – okay, so, like, to answer your question with specialization, I mean, I could understand why people think, oh, if I just devote all my time to this one thing, I'll be amazing. And that seems like it would be true. But that's not accounting for all of those skills and just the variability that you learn and your body takes on in those other sports. And then also from a mental perspective, like, it was tough transitioning to college doing just one sport. Like, that was a challenge, because you don't have other things to look forward to and just other things going on. And so I really think that it's super important for kids these days to do as much as they can and anything that's interesting to them, like, give it a go and give it a try and just see if they like it or not, because that's going to benefit you more than doing just one thing, you know, ever will. And then also from a physical perspective, like, injury prevention, it's doing those different sports and activities, like, that's really going to be beneficial to your body as a whole, because you're not overworking any one thing. Like, I my middle knuckle and certain parts of my body are kind of destroyed from just doing the one action over and over again. So I can only imagine if I had just done that my whole life, you know, and not just this last part. But yeah, and I just, and for me, like, yes, I do an individual sport, and I love that, but I also love team sports, too. And so there's just so many factors that are benefited from being a multi-sport athlete. It's just, I can't, the argument to me just seems incredibly clear to be a multi-sport athlete. So I always impress that upon kids when I talk to them and encourage that. And also, too, you know, if something is hard or you may not think that it would be interesting, that's okay. Just give it a try, because you never know what's going to stick. Because I hated throwing to begin with. That was, as I've told you guys before, that was forced upon
right.
me. And here I am still doing it, you know? So you never know what's going to be the thing. So don't be scared to try something new, even if you're not good at it or it's hard to start.
Well, and don't let anybody ever tell you it can't be done, right? It's like, I always feel like if a kid says, like, if you were in sixth grade, what do you want to do? And you said you wanted to be an Olympian, a lot of people, well, maybe not you in sixth grade, say you in, like, second grade. You know what I'm saying, though? But the point is, people would scoff at that. If someone says they want to be a doctor or an astronaut, it's like, yeah, go for
yeah.
it. Anytime you say you want to do something in athletics, you're scoffed at, like, well, pick something more realistic. Reed Detmers is in the big leagues. Jason Isringhausen made it to the big leagues. You're a two-time Olympian. It's rare, and it's an amazing accomplishment, but it can be done.
Yeah, and I think that it all starts with that dream and that vision. And I was so lucky, and I'm so thankful today to have the support that I did, that, you know, they helped me get there. They helped me be my best self and get me to the resources. And just, I mean, just being in Carlinville, like, we are so lucky to have what we have here. And even if you maybe don't have some of those people there right away to help you, there are people that want to help you be successful. And so don't be afraid to seek that support out, because it's there. And you can, you know, you can do anything you put your mind to. And it's not always going to be easy at all. But it all starts with a vision and a passion and a decision to put that above all else.
Two-time Olympian. I just got some goosebumps just listening to you talk right there. Just awesome stuff. Kelsey Card, thank you so much for some of your time here. We always love catching up with you. It's so fun to follow your journey here. And I am stoked to know that maybe, just maybe, we'll say three-time Olympian in 3 short years from now.
Fingers crossed. Knock on wood. We shall see. It was good to chat with you guys.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Kelsey Card, your two-time Olympian from Carlinville. And, David, just what a fantastic human being. You know, just, I mean, you're not going to find a more kind-hearted person than Kelsey Card.
Perfect personality.
Perfect personality. Yeah. Just awesome. And she happens to be a heck of an athlete as well.
But she gets into it, too. I mean, for the wonderful, happy, optimistic personality, bubbly personality she has.
She's got
the intensity is there, yeah.
She's got the switch. And the great ones do, don't they?
Right,
like the great ones have the ability to have that mentality of, I can't be like this all the time.
Right.
But when it's time to go, it's time to go.
Yeah.
And when it's time to go, Kelsey goes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And that was, and it was interesting. Yep, you know it's hot if she's hedging on what was hotter, Tokyo or a July day in Carlinville.
Yeah.
You know, so you know that it was humid as all get out over there.
I don't know my geography well enough. How close, how much closer to the equator is Tokyo than Carlinville?
I don't know, David. I was told there'd be no math.
Yeah. That would make a difference, though.
It definitely would make a difference. Hey, we need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. Coming up next, we're going to talk with first-year Litchfield volleyball coach Abby Carlson. Also going to catch up with Carlinville volleyball coach Katie Hammond as Sports Saturday rolls on.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you very much. Here on our volleyball preview show, practice officially starts Monday, games to begin the week of the 23rd, and we're going to catch up with first-year Litchfield head coach Abby Carlson here momentarily. Katie Hammond with Carlinville will follow here on our volleyball preview. Boys soccer preview show next week, and then the week of the 21st, we will have our football preview show. And just the short offseason, right? It just feels like it's getting here quickly, and I guess that's because it is. You know, we were doing North Mac sectional baseball in the middle of June. And here we are now, the first part of August, getting set for a brand new fall season. And we're happy to be joined on the phone right now by Abby Carlson. Abby is going to be in her first year at the helm of the Litchfield Purple Panther volleyball program. And Abby, thank you for a few minutes of your time. How are you doing?
I'm good. Good morning. How are you guys today?
Hey, we are just fantastic and exciting times, right? Just kind of talk about the emotions you're going through here, getting set for this upcoming season.
Yeah, you know, we had a really great summer. We had a good core group of girls that have been in multiple times a week. We're so ready to get going. We're glad to be back in our normal time slot, not having to play in the spring this year. We are just so excited that we actually get a season, and hopefully we can all make it through healthily.
And it's not, like you said, back in the normal slot in the fall where volleyball belongs. And the fact that there's postseason, something to look forward to, is very strange during that spring season to not know that you had the playoffs waiting at the end.
Yeah, it totally kind of changed everything. You know, you work so hard during regular season to be ready to make a deep push in postseason, and without having that kind of there motivating you, it definitely, you know, was just a different feeling. You know, what were we working towards? What was the point? And we only got to play conference teams, so you saw, you know, fewer number of teams. So I think everybody, girls included, were just very excited to actually have a normal season again.
And, you know, Abby, it's two separate seasons, but it almost feels like one big year to me in some ways, the spring and the fall.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, outside of, we lost about 4 to 5 seniors, 3 that were big impactors for us. But, yeah, I agree. It really does kind of feel like we just got done with season, then we did stuff during the summer, and now we're back. It almost feels like collegiate, where you have your fall season and your spring season.
Yeah, you know,
I
said your first year head coach, first year, but second season, I guess.
Correct. Yes, I was the assistant coach last year and then moved up to the head coach for this season.
And just you talked about the summer work, and it had to be nice to be able to do some things that you're accustomed to doing when it comes to summertime.
Yes, it was so great. Our assistant coach did a great job in the weight room and conditioning the girls. And then, you know, I had them in the gym. So that's definitely more of what we're used to being able to do. Last year, because of COVID, we were only able to do outside things. So obviously, being an indoor sport, we really weren't able to touch a ball at all during the summer. So hopefully, you know, between being able to get in the gym, our girls played a couple tournaments during the summer. So hopefully that will have prepared us for season.
And when it comes to the skill work, what are some of those skills that you really hone on and it's like, all right, this has to be there for us consistently?
Yes, serve receive for sure. Especially at the high school level, you got to be able to serve receive. We've been really drilling with our setters. You know, they're your captains on the court, whether they wear that C or not. You know, they're running everything out there. So I would definitely say those two things. Obviously, all volleyball players like to just be able to hit, right? They would spend 2 hours just doing attacking lines. But getting them to understand that if we can't pass the ball, you're never going to get there. So really focusing on those techniques, those passing and serve receiving.
Yeah, I guess if practice was just hitting, you'd have kids lined up to practice 3 hours a day, huh?
Oh, absolutely. They would love it. I would be the best coach ever in their eyes.
Abby, what are your, I guess, goals, hopes, expectations for the fall season here?
I just really hope to be able to put a competitive team out there. Mm-hmm. You know, coming into Litchfield, we are rebuilding this program. And so I just really hope to be able to teach the girls the fundamentals and, you know, what does it take to be a part of a winning program? We have some amazing athletes, and I just really, my goal for them is to be able to leave Litchfield feeling like they accomplished something. I'm not necessarily too concerned with how deep of a run we make in playoffs. That, to me, is just a bonus, but getting them used to being a part of a winning and very competitive program for this year, that's our goal.
And that to me, has always been, that has to be the foundation of high school athletics. You know, if that's not the core objective, to me, something's missing.
I agree. You know, I'm a very big advocate for, yes, I'm teaching them volleyball, but I'm also teaching them life skills. You know, how do you put in the hard work? What does that mean? You know, if you want to be an athlete, you have to be willing to sacrifice some, you know, personal things. You know, you can't go on vacation in the middle of summer, you know, summer season. So just really teaching them those life lessons. And then along with that, if they can become a better volleyball player, then that's just a win-win in my eyes.
That is fantastic. Abby Carlson, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and we look forward to following the Purple Panthers this fall.
Thank you so much. Have a great day, guys.
That is Abby Carlson, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers, joining us here on Sports Saturday. Don't forget Cardinal Baseball for you tonight, 5:20 a.m. 1540, FM 106.9 and 92.9. And, wait, Alex Reyes just walked somebody again. Oh.
He was perfect last night.
He was last night? Oh, he was good last night?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Against the Royals.
Hey, Royals, Pirates, Royals.
That's right.
Time to win some ball games, boys.
They're major league teams.
That's right. They're getting paid too, by gum.
That's right.
So 5:20 tonight, AM 1540, FM 106.9 in 92.9. This is WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, talking high school volleyball here on Sports Saturday this morning. Practice officially starting on Monday, games to begin the week of the 23rd. And we want to thank Janine Lusico of Staunton for joining us this morning. Emily Zimmerman of Hillsboro. We just heard from Abby Carlson of Litchfield, and we're about to catch up with Katie Hammond of Carlinville here on our volleyball preview show. And it's always great to catch up and talk high school volleyball. And, you know, that was one of the things during this last COVID stretch, you know, really trying to make sure that all the sports get their due, get their credit. And I feel like that tide is starting to turn more and more to where football just dominated the fall. And it still does. But volleyball is starting to really take its place here on the fall mantle of high school sports, exactly where it should be. And on the phone right now is Carlinville head coach Katie Hammond. And Katie, thank you for a few minutes of your time this morning. How are you doing?
Oh, absolutely. I'm doing well. How are you?
Hey, doing very good. And it has to just be nice to be back in the fall.
Oh, my goodness. I am so excited to be back in the fall, and so are the girls. They were like, what just happened last year in March? And I was like, I know, that was the weirdest thing ever.
How strange was it? Because we're all creatures of habit, and you play volleyball in the fall. That's when you play it. So when you had it in March, just how strange was it to have it then, and then such a quick transition now into the normal season?
I think one of the weirdest things was they played basketball first.
Right.
And so I was almost in that position where we had to wait until our basketball season was over to fully get everyone there. And I've never had to do that. Usually, you know, basketball's waiting for us mm-hmm. to get done to have everybody there. So that was very, very strange. And then at the end of our volleyball season, spring sports were starting. So then we had to share the girls, you know, with softball and soccer, and thank goodness Sarah Deneve didn't really schedule any games or anything, so we didn't have to share there. You know, volleyball was done before spring sports started, but it was still kind of like they would leave my practice and they could go to soccer, they could go there, and that's never happened before. And we were just very concerned with them going straight from basketball, straight into volleyball, straight into spring sports, you know, with no break. So my practices weren't as long as they normally are, and it was just so strange, you know, going straight into the IHSA saying, oh, you start in 2 weeks. And normally we have 3.5 weeks
right.
to prepare for that first game. So it was just a whirlwind, honestly.
And, I mean, when you think about the fall, it's nice to be first up, you know, start of the school year, start of the season. So your summer work, it leads right in to the start of the year. So the stuff you've worked on in the summer, it's top of mind when the season starts.
Exactly, and that's the best part of having camps in June and July and playing in some leagues and playing in tournaments. And it's, you know, the girls get a couple weeks off at the end of summer, but then they go right into exactly what we had just been working on. So I really think that always helps us kind of start our season, you know, on our feet running rather than just kind of starting to walk. And that's kind of how I felt last year. It was just kind of where we ended is normally where we would have started
right.
in terms of talent and things, you know, working together and working the kinks out. You know, it took us a long time to work those kinks out last year, and then all of a sudden you're like, we have 3 games left and now we're playing our best volleyball.
Well, Kitty, I thought
that just kind of stunk.
Certainly. And I said all last year, like with that COVID, it was a good year to be bad and a bad year to be good, just because there was the reward wasn't there at the end of the year in terms of the postseason. But for Carlinville volleyball, the expectation is at a different level than most. So what is called a down year by Carlinville standards wouldn't be the case in a lot of programs around the area. Just talk a little bit about that and coming off of the COVID season into what is going to be a better fall season for you.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, we know the legendary coach Fran Struble built this program from you know, the dirt floor up
right.
to where we are now. And without her, I mean, we would be nowhere. And so I just feel privileged to have played for her and coached with her and to know what it takes and to know what that tradition is. And the girls 100% still feel it. They know that when they walk into a gym and put on a Carnival uniform, like, that is tradition. Mm-hmm. And that has been tradition for 40 years. And so that COVID year was just so strange, you know, like we had lost five seniors who had played for 2 years. And I had 5 seniors last year, but only one had varsity experience. So last year we may have been old in terms of age with 5 seniors out there, but young in terms of experience. Hmm. And I think only being able to play 14 games didn't allow those seniors to really reach their potential. Whereas if we would have had 35 games, like we hopefully will get to play this
right.
year in a normal year, I just think that, you know, last year would have really been a different season for us. So that's really what we're looking forward to now. I have 3 seniors, and they are jumping for joy that tournaments are back.
Yes.
That's their favorite part of volleyball. They love the tournaments. They love the bonding that it creates. They love knowing at the end of the day we can play for some hardware, and they know that Carnival wins a lot of that hardware in years past. So they're just excited to be able to go on those Saturday trips and make all those memories. And I think that's really the key, is we couldn't make those memories last year as much. And I think the girls are really excited to be able to have team bonders and to make all those memories that they can take with them when they can't take,
you know, the athleticism with them anymore.
No, that's exactly right, Kim. I mean, the memories of the bus rides to the tournaments on Saturdays, like you're talking, that's what was missed last year. And there is something special and different about a volleyball tournament opposed to a basketball tournament or a baseball tournament. Those volleyball tournaments, they are exciting.
They are, and they're all day, you know, like basketball, you can normally only play one or two basketball games in a day, whereas volleyball, we can play five.
Yeah.
And so we start early and we can end late depending on how some of those games go. And those games, as we know, like can go into the late 20s, early 30s, and you got to win by two. And I mean, when you say you're going to play a championship game at 4 o'clock, and sometimes you're walking out of the gym at 6:30, you just never know. There's none of that time. Like basketball, you know, you play this X amount of time. Volleyball, it's points. And yeah. And that's, I think, what the girls really, really like is you never know what's going to happen in volleyball. Momentum is a huge game changer in it.
Boy, and it changes quickly, doesn't it?
Oh, very quickly.
Hey, Katie, talk to me about Jill Staten. I mean, she is such a supreme athlete and has been since her freshman year.
100%. I mean, she makes Carnival Athletics better in every aspect of the game. She played some games for me as a freshman. She started her sophomore, junior year. She has played any position that I ask. We had to move her back to middle blocker last year because I had a couple middle blockers who would have been starting for me move literally out of state. And so we had to move her, and her natural position's outside, and we had to move her to middle, and she didn't say a word. She was like, let's go. Let's do it. And, you know, we're hoping to put her back on that outside this year. But that girl can, for not being very big, she can get up and hit. She can get up and block. Her defense is outstanding. She is a primary passer in our serve-receive pattern. We had to play a varsity tournament without her this summer, and you could definitely feel her absence.
There's something about those kids that have been with you the whole way, dominating and helping you at the varsity level for 2-3 years. When they get to be seniors, it really does become just a special bond, doesn't it?
It does. We had our parent meeting on Monday this past week, and Jill and her mom, we're both kind of talking, and they're like, this is so weird to think. This is our last one. We've been coming to your parent meeting for 6 years. Hmm. And to know that, like, this is our last one, like, they kind of, you know, Suzanne Staten was like, it kind of gave me goosebumps knowing this is our last one. And this is my last kid coming through. So it is special. And you know, those senior nights, I love honoring those seniors who have been with me for so long. But I never get teary-eyed then because I know we have more work to do. But
right.
It's that last game where, you know, you get teary-eyed not because you lost, but because you've seen them grow as a human being. You've seen them grow as a player. And when they tell you their plans for after high school, you're just so proud of them, and they come back and visit you in the gym, and it's just like this lifelong bond that you're like, wins and losses are awesome, but that is why you coach, right there.
Yeah. Beautifully said. Katie Hammond, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and best of luck this year.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right, Katie Hammond with Carlinville, and yeah, I mean, David, that's always our belief here on the show. It was Terry's core belief about athletics just being another extension of the classroom. You're teaching kids life lessons, and that is what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to win.
Yep.
But what are you teaching them?
Exactly.
What are they learning?
Exactly.
And from the coaches that we talked to today, they're all going in the direction that you would hope that they would go.
That's right. I have nothing more to add.
You got nothing?
Nothing to add.
You have no words?
Not a coach.
The man's tongue didn't come to a cuspid.
What?
I don't know. That's the Rocky IV line.
Listen to this guy. Oh, okay.
Rocky IV.
I was about to call you cultured. Well, I guess Rocky IV could be cultured.
I'm many things. Cultured ain't one of them. I'll tell you that right now.
Are you reading?
Oh, no.
Are you reading?
I am not. Okay. I am proud to say no.
Not a well-read individual, eh?
Correct.
Yeah.
All right. We got Cardinal Baseball for you today, 520 AM 1540 FM 106.9 in 92.9. But I can read, David, if I wanted to.
Well, that's half the battle.
More than half the battle, I say, by golly. For David Jenkins, I'm Tim Mai. Sports Saturday has done boys soccer preview show coming up next weekend. Have a great sporty weekend, everybody.